Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So Hare Krishna, I'm very happy that I will be able to give the last of the six lectures on this most amazing manual to enter Vrindavan consciousness or Krishna consciousness, the Krishna Lila Stava. I wish to wholeheartedly greet all those devotees who joined us for this last full day of the Govardhan Parikrama. I already met one Mataji, Dina Tarini, and I understand Yamuna, my secret star, is somewhere in the audience. Hare Krishna, this is Yamuna. Hari Bol Yamuna. I'm saying my secret star because when I came to Krishna consciousness in this life, it was really through a little miracle where Yamuna and the devotees from the Radha Krishna London temple played a significant role. I was very much looking for experience in life outside of the normal frame of things, and the art scene and the philosophy scene and magic scene of and esoteric scene of Germany caught my interest. So I became close to the world of music and also to some of the groups. Now one day as I looked a music TV series, the Rolling Stones said goodbye to their guitarist who had died in a swimming pool after an excessive night of sense gratification. And we all were shocked, those of us who knew this music and knew the band. And we were very... when I received the news, it came through the TV. It was immediately on TV, and I was shocked about the vanity of material existence, that everything ends in that dark, moist hole of earth, the graveyard, in the graveyard, your own grave. And I was overcome by existential worries. What will be with my life if it also ends in a dark, wet hole? And I was thinking, and now that after the stones had said goodbye to their ignorant guitar player, then the next group was the Radha Krishna temple album on the TV. And Yamuna was there pumping artfully on the harmonium, with maybe not a variety of melodies in her fingers, but in her heart. Lots of bhava, lots of happiness. And I saw that and thought, well, this is the way out of the dark, wet hole. I immediately understood that intuitively, that chanting the Hare Krishna mantra would give liberation from material existence. This much I understood. I didn't know about the real things like love of Godhead and so on. So, Yamuna, I'm now trembling with excitement and nervousness giving this presentation, because before my Vartman Pradakshaka Guru, please shower your mercy and your compassion when I say something foolish. Hare Krishna. All of you are very much welcome. Please do stay on for the theater play at 4 o'clock, which will be something outstanding. You will not have experienced such a thing before. The curtain, which is sometimes before Braj, will open as if drawn by a benevolent hand. And you will see something you have not seen before. Please stay. 4 o'clock it starts and lasts only up to 5. All right. So, our last session is a very important session, because in the last obeisances which you find in Krishna Lila Stava, Sanatana Goswami breaks his rule. Up till now he has paid obeisances to Krishna's Leelas at the particular Leela stands, the places where they happened. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami describes this in more detail. He said, one should bring himself to the sacred land of Vrindavan, go to the pastimes places, and then offer his obeisances to the different pastimes, to Krishna performing these pastimes. This, of course, is a practice which brings us very quickly into the realm of remembering Krishna. And with the additional support of those holy places, where Krishna and his Leelas are still present in an aprakat, a non-manifested form, a great, great spiritual advancement can be made in a very short time. So he has done this. He has offered obeisances to Krishna in his different leelas, in the different places. But his last entry is an obeisance to Krishna's mercy, his Karuna Shakti. And we will see that, we will look at this obeisance in a little time. There is a very, very great, almost magical effect in remembering grace which has been bestowed upon you. Gratitude is a very important first stepping stone on your path to prema. We always talk about love of God, develop love of God, develop love of God, but that is a high, high goal. A goal which you might not attain so easily if you don't have steps in between. Only the great, great personalities are absorbed in love of God. Now, the way to attain prema is to start, one of the ways to attain prema is to start with something which lies in your reach. That is gratitude. Gratitude prepares the heart for the highest gift of love. Gratitude, therefore, is often described, for instance, by Queen Kunti, as a sign of a fortunate person. When you can reside in the feeling of great gratitude or gratefulness, you will soften your heart, and it is a softened heart which will attract the soft queen of bhakti into your heart. If you have nothing to be grateful for in your life, if your mind never touches even the shadow of gratitude, you will have difficulty to enter into the realm of bhakti. Now it's interesting to note that if you focus your mind on what you can be grateful for, then you will attract soon more things you are grateful for. I have made this experiment in my life because I'm a busy person. At least I keep myself busy. It's not always that these are meaningful activities which I do, but I try to keep myself busy in service. I don't have so much time, but every morning when I'm under the shower, which is a very boring activity for me, then I think about the things I'm grateful for. And I'm thinking, I'm grateful, Krishna, that you gave me another day where I can try to do devotional service. I'm grateful that I have the holy name, and then I start to trumpet the holy name under my shower with great volume. And in this way, I start my day with gratitude. And I have noted, since I practice this, I'm so grateful for many things. I have noted, for instance, that each day I find myself musing, I'm so grateful that I'm still alive. I feel like that. And I'm so grateful that I'm in Vrindavan. This morning I felt, I'm so grateful, Krishna, that you took the clouds away so that the devotees won't catch a cold. And in this way, as I'm grateful for one thing and then add another thing, soon other things become added to. And it's amazing that a person who practices the art of expressing gratefulness attracts more and more things magically for which he can be grateful. It's something magical. Try it to understand it. I guess it has to do with that when you start with something you are grateful, your heart becomes tender and soft, and at that moment you attract likewise quality. You attract similar qualities into your heart, and Krishna just gives it. Whereas when you are hard and when your heart is hard and resentful, then many things come into your life which you feel negative about. Have you ever noted that? When you are negative in your life, how much negative things you can attract? You come into. Have you ever noted the difference between a negative day where you enter the Krishna Balaram temple and a day when your heart is softened by gratitude? When you're negative, then the guard on the door thinks that you are a terrorist who brings in a bomb. Then when you have passed him, then you meet someone who asks you for a donation. Then when you have negotiated with him the next 1 meter, then you bang your head against the low entrance gate. Then when you have gone through the low entrance gate, you step onto a puddle of water which was left there by the cleaner who didn't have eyes to see this puddle of water. And before you are on the altar, you are black, so black in your consciousness Whereas when you are grateful and loving, you meet other things on your way to the altar. You meet loving devotees. You hear a nice kirtan by the 24-hour kirtan people, and you think, this melody I will memorize, I will sing it the next time I open my mouth. And in this way, negative things attract more negative things, and positive attitudes attract positive things in your life. Try it. I can't speak so much about it because then I would have to get very esoteric, and I don't want to do this in Vrindavan. It's a law of this cosmos. So you can start an avalanche of auspiciousness in your life by just practicing the art of gratitude. Start even with small things, that you are still alive, and you will see how much mangalam auspiciousness you attract in your life. Please try it. Try it, and you will see your life changes. So there is a reason why Sanatana Goswami is grateful, which is expressed in one Sanatana Goswami Suchaka Kirtan by Sri Radha Vallabha, who writes about a very, very important incident in Sanatana Goswami's life, which prepared him to go to Vrindavan. He writes about that historical moment where Rupa Goswami left Rama Keli and accepted the renounced order of life, and when Sanatana Goswami, his older brother, was thrown into prison. Greatly distressed, Sanatana Goswami thought within his mind, Gaurahari has mercifully delivered Sri Rupa, but has he forgotten this fallen soul? I am now locked in this prison, bound hands and neck by my sinful reactions. O Lord, with the rope of your mercy, please firmly tie up my hair and drag me to your lotus feet. And now, Sanatana Goswami describes, let me say, a motivational meditation for anyone who wants to enter in spiritual life or who wants to stay in spiritual life with a heart ablaze with bhakti. It's a contemplation about the misery of material life on one side and the saving grace of Krishna on the other side. Please listen. Behind me lies a sea of unlimited depths. On both sides of me is a blazing forest fire, and before me stands a hunter with an arrow which is already aimed at my heart. It's death. Huh? In this way, I who am like a she-deer is entrapped in great danger, and I am crying in grief. O Lord, you must save me this time. Prabhupada says that a devotee who chants in great complacency, thinking everything is all right, no danger, no, my life is sailing, is a smooth sailing, will not have the fervor. Fervor means intensity or steam, if you so wish, which is necessary to bring your consciousness from the level of material consciousness to one step higher to the level of spiritual consciousness. You must have some favor, some energy in this, and that comes when you become aware that you are in danger and that you need the mercy of the Lord. So here's the prayer which Sanatana prays. You effortlessly liberated Jagai and Madai, just as Vasudev liberated Ajamil. Please, do save me from this terrible ocean of sorrow. Without you, no one is there to save me. So imagine Sanatana Goswami staying in the prison, not knowing if he will be able to be released from the prison. And I want to tell you, at that time, or in general also, Indian prisons are not luxury cells like the Western prisons. You will meet rats, snakes, and the bones of corpses in those prisons. So he is just praying for Krishna to be released. And at that time, something nice happens. Then someone secretly gave Sanatan a letter from Rupa. It was written in a very cryptic way, and it described that Rupa is in Vrindavan, and the Lord is also there, and he, Sanatan, should make an effort to go to Vrindavan. And by this enthusiasm and having a clear goal now, Sanatan Goswami escapes in a wonderful way, which should be filmed one day in a movie. You know, he really was a spectacular road of escape, which only someone can do who has the mercy of Krishna. I mean, he really made it. Radha Vallabh, the author of this, gets pleasure in his mind thinking of the hope that Sanatan got by reading that secret, I would say, cryptic letter. No one could really decipher the meaning. It was a hidden meaning. So this is a Sanatan, it's a background, and he will very, he remembered that always. In his last obeisances to Krishna, he says, Si Krishna tava karunya mahim neme namo namaha yomang nicham duracharam nitya padaratam satam. O Sri Krishna, I offer my repeated obeisances to the wonder of your mercy. You took me, a fallen, wicked person, a cheater, always addicted to sinful ways, and you lifted me from such depravity to an elevated state like that of your saintly devotees. You took me from the terrible place where I lived, no, the dungeon, filled with rats, mosquitoes, and everything else. And you brought me to this most auspicious place, Mathura Mandala. That's the meditation which Sanatana Goswami has, a meditation on gratitude, really. He thinks about the mercy of Lord Krishna, who liberated him from the dungeon of material existence and brought him to the place full with chirping parrots and prema wafting through the air like a fresh breeze from the Kadamba forest near the Jamuna. So then he starts to extol this Vrindavan Dham and says, in Vrindavan, liberation can be attained in four ways. That is, someone who is born here, someone who is initiated in Vrindavan, he will be, that's his last life. He's someone who has died in Vrindavan, or someone who is cremated in Vrindavan. He's guaranteed liberation from the cycle of birth and death. And Sanatana Goswami further meditates on Vrindavan as saying that, Krishna, you are always here as if placed here by the force of your divine glories. See, Krishna, one of Krishna's divine glory is that he stays in Vrindavan in his aprakat form, that is not manifested for the eyes, but very much manifested for the devotional heart. In Vrindavan Dham, you may not be able to see Krishna with your mixture of water and horny skin and nerves. I'm referring to the mundane eye. But you can feel Krishna's presence when your heart is softened by Krishna consciousness or by Bhava. Then you can have access to the aprakat level where Krishna is still existing. Sanatana Goswami just goes through many things he is grateful for. He remembers that he got the association of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Do you know where he got the association? In Jagannath Puri, exactly. He remember, I came to Puri and I saw you in your most merciful incarnation as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Then he remembers that Krishna, I saw you personally, how you came down the grand road being pulled on a chariot by your devotees. And then he remembers how he was brought back to Vrindavan. He remembers so many things. And then, I will not go through all the points because sometimes we have an information overload and then switch, we go into the sleeping gear, which we want to absolutely avoid today. In the verse 426, Sanatan, who writes really a list of things he is grateful for, says, "And now, wonder of wonders, you make your name appear from my mouth, and sometimes you allow me to remember your lotus feet in my heart." He's grateful that I can chant, and sometimes I can think of you, Krishna. How grateful I am for this. My dear devotees, this is something we can learn from this last obeisances. Make a list of gratitude every day. When you do this, you will attract mercy beyond all of your boldest imaginations. And be creative in what you are thankful for. The fact, for instance, that you can chant Hare Krishna. And that you can remember Krishna's lotus feet in your heart. And then he is talking in the last verse. Your mercy is a great wonder. Your mercy is none different from you. Your mercy is pure eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Your mercy can empower me to always remember and glorify you in pure love. My dear devotees, pray for Krishna's mercy that you can remember him and glorify him. By Krishna's mercy it is possible that you're connected with that constant spiritual sound vibration of Krishna Kirtan. Your mercy can obtain for me even your loving sidelong glance. Like when I think Sanatana Goswami remembers as he pens this down, the Kripa Kataksha Stavaraj. It's a verse which has been a compilation of verses by Lord Shiva, who prays to Lord Krishna to give him his loving sidelong glance. Your mercy can enable me to see you immersed in the company of the cows and the cowherd boys and girls. There was once a great devotee here in Vrindavan who lived in Govindakund, and he would every day eat, and after he ate, he would rinse his mouth, but not swallow the water, but just spit it on the root of a tree. Then came the time when he went to Govardhan town to attend a big festival, and he returned only after 3 days. So after 3 days, he came back to his kutir. There was the tree, and the tree started to speak to him. My dear devotee, where have you been for 3 days? I'm living on your mouth water. That is the highest bliss, and it can absolve me from my fallen condition. Please never go. Please always spit your water on my roots. Imagine a tree would say this to you. So the devotee thought many things. He thought all the trees in Vrindavan are wish-fulfilling trees, and he had a big desire. So he became transcendentally Jewish businessman, and he said, okay, what will you give me if I always give you what you want to have from me, this water? And the tree said, shade. That you already have given, said the devotee, something new. And then the devotee said, I know that all of you trees are witnesses of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Please tell me where I can meet my Krishna. The tree said, we are not allowed to speak about this. Okay, no more mouth water. Come, said the tree. I am a cursed Brahmana. I did something very wrong, and I was told I would be liberated by a great devotee's mouth water. So please stay here, and I will tell you something, but don't tell it to anyone that you got it from me. Every day, Krishna comes home from his cow herding pastimes, and he passes by Govindakund. You will see a herd of cows coming that way. And the last cowherd boy, that's Krishna. But he is not visible. He's like he came to Madhavendra Puri, looking like a little Brajabala, that means a boy from Braj, you know, one of these little Krishna, Krishna, Govinda, these little boys. And you just have to go to him and try to see if he gives you his mercy. So the Baba was at the fag end of his life, and he said, oh, okay. He hit the whole day in Govindakund, in one of those behind these trees. And then the time came which you can still see today. The white cows passing by Govindakund. You must see the scene. This is the best. So then he saw that last cowherd boy just skipping and making the noises of a cowherd boy. And then the barber came and went from his hiding place and held the feet of this cowherd boy. The cowherd boy said, what is this, Baba? Krishna, Krishna, please reveal yourself to my blinding eyes. I'm not Krishna, I'm called Gopal. The Baba said, I won't let you go. I know that you appeared to Madhavendra Puri, and he couldn't immediately see who you are. You also have taken a disguise for me. Just reveal yourself. Oh no, you're a little religiously mad, said the boy. Let me go. But the Baba said, I won't let you go. So they started to talk and talk. The sun was setting in the horizon. All of a sudden, Gopa said, I really have to go. I can't talk with you any longer. My mother, Yashoda. Baba said, I know it's you. You can't deceive me. And Krishna said, all right. And he showed this Baba his form decorated with a turban, a pink turban, which he uses when he has, when he goes out for cow herding. And he held playfully his flute, but the Baba was very intelligent. With the remaining voice which he had, everything else was choked in ecstasy, he said, if you are really Krishna, if you are really Gopal, then where is your Radha? All right, said Krishna, and all of a sudden, the beautiful form of Radha and her associates dwelt before emerged before the Baba's hungry eyes, who could feast himself on this vision and then lost his consciousness. The Baba lived for 3 more days in this body and then left his body to go to the eternal spiritual world. Hare Krishna. So, your mercy can obtain for me your loving sidelong glance. It can enable me to see you immersed in the company of the cows and the cowherd boys and girls. Thus, for a helpless person like me, your mercy is the ultimate resort of all hopes. Your wonderful mercy is ancient and eternal and also ever new and fresh. To your mercy again and again, I offer my obeisances forever. My dear devotees, if I would be Bhurijan, I would say, get out your notebooks and pens. But because I'm not so qualified, I will say what Satchinandan Swami would say to you. Sit properly. And kindly relax yourself by breathing very deeply. Just become aware of the in and outgoing breath. Think of nothing else than breathing. Calm, steady, and deep breathing. Relax your body a little, starting with the shoulders. And aim for a state of consciousness where you are relaxed but incredibly aware and sharp. And now you will have 2 minutes to think about something or more things you can be grateful for. And then we will offer our obeisances to Giriraj. This marks the start of the exercise, and in a few moments I will release you from your exercise of gratitude. Collect as many things you can think of to be grateful for. When you're ready, please offer your full obeisances in the direction of Giriraj for the wonder of Krishna's mercy. When you're ready, you can return back to your sitting place. As Bhurijan Prabhu has alerted us, and I think in one of the Govardhan retreats, he even read the purports, to obtain Shri Krishna, 2 things are important. Mercy and one's effort. And at the end of our Krishna Lila Stava seminar, I wish to talk on both. I think you all remember the pastime the Damodar pastime, where Mother Yashoda tried to obtain Krishna or bind Krishna, but found the rope always 2 fingers too short. At least two, no matter how much rope she would add, the distance which remained always 2 fingers too short, not 1 finger too short, or 1/2 finger too short, or 4 fingers too short, always two. It seemed as if Krishna was making a sign, two, mother, two. What could be these two? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains to us that these represent the mercy of Krishna on one side and the effort of the devotee on another side. Both must be there. So we will now hear a little bit deeper on Krishna's mercy, and then I would especially like to bring your attention to effort. What effort can you do to really obtain the Lord of your heart? I mean, I hope I have not inspired all of you to go today to Govinda Kund and wait until the cows come by and then wait for the last cowherd boy. I have a surprise to you. That cowherd boy today is an old man. I have checked him, and he's not Krishna. Hare Krishna. Haribo. So let us hear about this. I would first like to bring your attention a little bit to the mercy of Krishna. In chapter 5 of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there are many instructions which are necessary for someone who wants to enter the kingdom of love or Vrindavan Dham. These are final instructions given to Gop Kumar which qualify him. And Sanatana Goswami starts out by the prime cause how you can attain the ultimate goal of pure love for Sri Krishna is Krishna's full mercy, which in someone may arise spontaneously and in someone else by gradual practice of devotional service. This is a little cryptic. Some people get the mercy like that they have spontaneous love for Krishna. These are the people who have a tremendous amount of bhava in their heart, which is an investment from above. But others get this love for Krishna by gradual practice. And Sanatana Goswami gives in the next verse an example which makes us understand. Sometimes a rich man, a donor, will give a hungry man the food. Take this food, and the hungry man can eat. But at another time, the rich man may decide to give a hungry man sabjis, knives, ghee, spices, pots, and a flame. In other words, the items which are necessary for him to obtain his meal. So Krishna may give someone pure love like that, like a full meal. And to others, Krishna will give this pure love for him as a result of that person using the gifts of Krishna, like the process of sadhana, the process of chanting the holy name, associating with devotees, going on pilgrimage to Vrindavan and so on. Now Prabhupada has compared these two times of how Krishna gives us a devotee love with an example which I find is very good. Sometimes it can happen that a person who is not academically qualified will get a doctor title. Here, take it. And the other times, it is the doctor title will come when someone goes to lesson A, lesson B, lesson C, makes his examen, passes the different examinations in the university, and after in Germany it takes 7 years, as far as I know, to make a medical doctor title, he gets the title. What do you think happens more frequently?
The second one.
Yes, I have two godbrothers who are good examples of this. Krishna Chetra Prabhu went through the corridors of the universities for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and now he is Dr. Kenneth Valpy. He has obtained a doctor title in the conventional way. And I have another godbrother, his name is Bhakti Vaibhava Swami, who preached, and then he came to Mongolia. And in Mongolia, they never see Western people. And, and they got him, he gave a lecture, and after the lecture, there was a meeting of all the Mongolian doctors, you know, who ride on their horses to the university and ride away from on their horses from the university. And they decided to give him an honorary title, a doctor title. So he is now Dr. Gunnar Reimann, but he has to ride from the University of Ulam-Uzulupski or something, you know. and that's not where... I once met Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj. As, you know, we are from Germany. We know each other very well. Like, we grew up in the same sandbox. So he went to Krishna Chetra like this. Ah, I'm a doctor. Now, without having, vetted the benches of the university with my anxiety sweat before the examinations. And Krishna Chetra smiled because he knew from where the doctor title is, and he said, just try to go to Harvard University, proclaim yourself as a doctor, and give a lecture, and when they find out you're from Ulam Utsbikskiska and have your title from there, then they will throw tomatoes on you. You know, if we are from Germany, we are like, to speak a little poetically. So this, my dear devotees, I'm just remembering this. Raj Bihari, you are a doctor also, isn't it? Not yet. Are you on that path? Sorry? Master degree is also something, yes. Acha. But will you obtain a doctor title? Who knows? So let us now read the essential message of these examples from Prabhupada and from real life, from Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj and Krishna Chetra Prabhu. Usually, the doctor title is given really after a lot of effort. It is really rare that you get a doctor title and a real doctor title, a respected doctor title, just as a grant from the university, although you may not have the academic qualifications, just because they want to show their gratitude or they want to honor you. They sometimes give this honorary doctor title. So, but it's very, 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 very rare. So, a humble devotee should always try to go to wait for the Lord, for the pots, the sabjis, the spices. In other words, the ingredients of the processes of devotional service. He should never think, oh, pure love will just be given upon me and dropped upon me. And because this is the case, I want to ask you a question. How do you develop Braj Bhakti, that is, attachment to Krishna in this very special and loving way. Sanatana Goswami answers this question. One develops that love by practicing the devotional service whose main ways are meditation on and singing about the many braj pastimes of the Lord. My dear devotees, that's the reason why I'm trying to give this course. I want to give you meditations on Krishna, which we have done in the last few days, and singing about Krishna. This evening, we will also again enter into the hall of pastimes when Jagatarini Mataji will open the treasury box of Vidakta Madhava, that book from Rupa Goswami, and we will hear about the pastimes, and we will sing about the pastimes. Sanatana Goswami says, that service, in other words, meditating on Krishna and singing about his pastimes, becomes brilliant by sankirtan of the Lord's most beloved holy names. My dear devotees, it is a hidden secret that sitting together in the assembly of devotees will help you to bring your meditation or remembrance of Krishna to a brilliant form. That is not a pale form, not a dull form or just some mental thoughts. But no, if you do sankirtan, that means sing with many devotees the Maha Mantra, and then remember the pastimes of Krishna, they come alive in your heart. That is the process of Sanatana Goswami. And he gives another advice, an advice which we try to also follow in this Govardhan retreat. He says, you need to go into the company of people who taste devotional service of hearing and chanting. And when you are in that company, then that love appears of its own accord. When you are, in other words, with Svajatiya Vaishnavas, with devotees who like to discuss about Krishna and hear about Krishna and sing about Krishna, then that love for Krishna appears of its own accord. Of its own accord means you don't do anything. It's almost like if now, let us give an example. Jayaprataka Maharaj would appear here amongst us on his own accord. I'm using such an example with full consciousness. We would think, my God, that's the mercy of the Lord that he's here, and that he made the decision to come here after his miraculous resurrection from the intensive care station of Hinduja Hospital in Mumbai. Wow! You know, so love for Krishna, which may be distant for us, can appear if we sit in the assembly of good-hearted devotees who talk about Krishna and who relish Krishna. That's the idea of this Govardhan retreat, that we come together and we dare to open our eyes and ears to Krishna Katha, and dare to vibrate our tongues no longer with prajalpa, but with only Krishna things or Krishna related things. Then he gives another practice. Reside always in seclusion in the land of the Lord's favorite pastime forests. Surely that love will soon develop and mature. So, if you do sadhana bhakti in Krishna's holy dham, it's especially conducive to the awakening of prema. That's another of our, now I'm giving away our secrets of our Govardhan retreat. Bhurijan Prabhu said to me at the beginning, he said to me, we always preach all over the world and we always try to bring our devotees to a higher level of Krishna's pastimes. But do you know Vatsachinandan Swami? I said, no. Please speak. Do you know when devotees come to the holy Dharma of Krishna's pastimes and hear about his pastimes here, then that love for Krishna will appear, will soon develop and then mature. Therefore, my dear devotees, I want to request you, take the Govardhan retreat in therapeutic doses. In other words, come again and again and again. There may be a time when you are so pure and developed that you wish to do your bhajan somewhere else here. That's also all right. Come to the sacred land of Vrindavan. And it's much better what I tell you now than going off. And go into a circle of devotees which is dedicated for that time to hear and chant about Krishna. And you will see magic working on you. Burijan Prabhu said to me yesterday, there was a question, how do I maintain what I got on the Govardhan retreat? Burijan Prabhu mentioned to me in private something which I thought was missing in my answer. He said, this impression of staying in the holy Dharma, looking out to Govardhan, just being touched by the breezes of Braj, hearing the of the parrots, and you know, maybe some impression of Jagatarini's or Madhavananda's or Burijan's full lecture, you know, what became clear to you, that will always stay as an unerasable, I'm trying to speak English as you notice, it's an unerasable impression which has been made in your heart, that cannot be erased by time. It will come. Maybe at the time of your death it will come out. I have been convinced of this many years ago, and therefore I go to Vrindavan and perform bhajan, and I can tell you in my dreams, which are still sometimes quite creative, I see scenes of Vrindavan coming in my heart, and I'm very, very happy. So, let me summarize. What is the practice to attain love of God? Going in the company of devotees, hearing about Krishna, and performing sadhana. Your sadhana bhakti means your regular practices of chanting. You know what we do, getting up and paying obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, Mangal Arati, all these many little things which are our sadhana. If you do that in the Dharma, it gets special power and will be effective. But only, this is very important, this only if you grow your roots deep. See, when a tree grows, and your tree of sadhan bhakti grows in the holy Dharma, you also need to grow your roots down. If trees only develop an impressive tree crown, but don't have deep roots, they can easily be uprooted. I lived for some years, I mean, I had my basis for some years in Germany, in a place called Abenteuer. We gave it the spiritual name Goloka Dham. And there are many, many very beautiful trees. But since 5 years, I noticed something very disturbing. All these big trees fall over after some time. And, you know, one day I was walking in the forest. I met a forest man, you know, these people who take care of the forest, and asked, I mean, I'm seeing all these trees uprooted. What is the reason? And the forest men, I don't know what's the English word of a forest man, how do you call them? Forest here? Or it's, you know, the caretaker or ranger, the ranger, yes. The ranger told me, see, there is now this acidity in the air, and the acidity in the air keeps the roots from growing. Somehow the roots become stultified and don't grow any longer. And a healthy tree, as it grows upward, must absolutely grow downwards also. If he doesn't grow downwards, then this growth will be a burden to him, which drags him to the ground and he will be uprooted. So in the same way, my dear devotees, if you want to develop Braj Bhakti, or according to this process which Sanatana Goswami has given, you need to grow the roots of Dainya, of humility, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the ground. If you don't learn this, everything is in vain. I told the devotees that 2 months ago or 3 months ago, I had heard about a devotee. I met a devotee who had done an impressive vrata last year, Kartik vrata, and he had grown his hair, you know, and there was no, he didn't have time to shave. So he went to the barber at the end of Kartik to shave off his hair on the beard and on the hair. And these Brijbasis started to joke with him. And he thought, I have done this Kartik vrata, I've done hundreds of rounds each day, and I read advanced scripture, and now they don't respect me as a sadhu. Oh, they laugh about me as if I would be a Westerner from the Krishna Balaram temple. Oh. And then the time came, this dreaded time where you have to give the money, you know. So he had agreed for a price of, I believe, 35 rupees, but they wanted 100 rupees. So he exploded in indignation and just struggled and fought with the barbers because he thought he should be respected. I did so much Kartik vrata. Yes, your tree crown has grown. Many leaves have appeared. New branches have appeared in your life. Hare Krishna. But have you grown your roots deeper? Only if you grow your roots deeper will you not quarrel when a Brijbasi laughs about you, but you will say, you are right, I'm just beginning my spiritual life. You are born here, it's very special. You will be able to take it. So the roots of Dainya are important in this practice. The roots of humility, which I believe is nothing else than a vision of reality. If you see the reality of our lives is, yes, we are born in the Western world. I am born from a multiple murderer. My father was fighting against the Poles and the Russians as a Nazi and killed many. Hare Krishna. My genes still vibrate with sex, drugs and rock and roll, a culture in which I grew up and which is still there in faint memories. There's reason to be humble. There's reason to be humble. Yes, there's some layer of mercy now over me, so that these disturbing thoughts are not all the time there. But the impressions are still there. I need mercy all the time. And it's good to look with a vision of humility into our hearts. Because only then can we walk safely on the road of love. The moment we lose our humility, our path becomes extremely unsafe. Raghunath Goswami speaks of highwaymen of lust, greed, and anger. The anger which attacked our pure devotee in the barber shop. Huh? Lust, greed, and anger can get you quite easy on your public road of Krishna consciousness. Be humble, mister. Be humble, sister. Have a vision of the reality. See yourself as a small part and parcel of Krishna, being, as Mahaprabhu says, tossed around in the waves of the material energy. Ayinanda tanuya kinkaram patitang mam vishame pavambudu. You know, I have fallen away from you, Krishna. Now I'm in this ocean of birth and death. Kindly pick me up and give me a humble position. Humble position. I don't need much extravagant service. I just some connection with the bottom of your lotus feet is sufficient for me. A piece of dust stuck to your lotus feet. That's what I want. This is called dainya. Dainya. Humility coming out of the mouth of our Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Then the whole process will work. Otherwise, it doesn't work. You will be like a tree. Yes, you can impress yourself and a few newcomers how advanced you are, how many rounds you chanted, how much this you made or that you made, how many followers. But the true people who have a good vision, they will see, oh, you're treading a dangerous path, Prabhuji. The winds of change will come to you. And if you have no deep roots, you will be uprooted. Hare Krishna. Especially mark the next year. Up to September, you will see some wonders happening. Mark my words. I don't say more. Just observe the next year. If you don't have deep roots, the next year will be very difficult for you. Dainya is defined that one thinks of himself as exceptionally incapable, although he has good qualities, like following the Nivritti mark, you know, renouncing this world. He may have the quality of being even free from false ego, and he may have a healthy fear of material life, but still he should think himself as incapable. And even if he has transcendental qualities, like his heart is extremely agitated for Krishna, he has tears, like some of you came to me and said they felt tears in their eyes during some of the programs. He feels ecstasy. And even if he has prema, still, Sanatana Goswami says, he should have a humble state of mind. I want to come to the end now. Sanatana Goswami has given the regular sadhana which one should obtain to get prema bhakti, which is to perform hearing and chanting in the Dham, especially in the association of devotees. And he says, for this sadhana to work, you have to grow the roots of bhakti, of humility. But then he gives a little do list what we can do while staying in Braj. Would you like to hear this? He says, go to Loi Bazaar shop, go to Govardhan, get the Govardhan sweet and become voluminous and wait. No. He says, just trying to test you. You should see the places of Krishna's Leela. That's why we take you always to Giriraj Govardhan. And you should sing Krishna's dearmost name. I will sing with you the names which appear. which are so wonderful. Krishna has dearmost names by which he is addressed in all the rasas. Si Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda. Si Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda. Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida. Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida. Shri Vallabhi Jeevani Radhikesha. Shri Vallabhi Jeevani Radhikesha. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Sri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna. Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida. Ha Shri Tanaya Prasida. Shri Vallabhi Jeevani Radhikesha. Shri Vallabhi Jeevani Radhikesha. Hare Krishna. I'm not so familiar with the melody and the rhythm, to be very truthful, and I will lose it. But the idea is, see, Krishna, dearmost name should be chanted. What you can also do is, you can chant Yamuna, what is the other? Yashomati Nandana Vrajabharanagara. Yashomati Nandana Vrajabharanagara. Gokula Ranjana Kana. Gokula Ranjana Kana. Gopi Paranadana Madana Manohara. Narana Madana Manohara. Gopi Paranadana Madana Manohara. Lali la la li la la. What is it? No, vidana. Kali adamana vidana. Amala harinam ami avilasa. Vipina purandara navinana nagavada vangsi. Vangsi padana suvasa. Braja jana palana asurakula nashana. Raja jana palana asura kula nashana. Nanda godana rakoyala. If you do these powerful Naam Kirtan, you will, in the holy land of Krishna's appearance, you will see how the names will blossom into realizations of Krishna's form and quality and pastimes. For instance, you will sing Govinda Madhava, two beautiful names of Krishna, and then you will sing Navanita Taskara, that means the stealer of the butter. Huh? Is it correct? Navanita Taskara. And you will think, I have heard how Krishna was stealing the butter, how he was getting on the mortar, which is used to grind the grains, and how he was then grabbing into the butter pot, and then how later Yashoda calls him a thief, and he says, no, I have not stolen. It were the monkeys who were stolen, and I was trying to chase them away, and then I grabbed them, and their hands were full of butter. So, mother, I have this butter hand. I'm not a thief. In my dynasty are no thieves. Only in your dynasty there are thieves. You know, and Krishna thinks of this one thief who had appeared. His name is Samshora, who had appeared in his mother's dynasty. This is some clever words, he says, in other words. Then Sundara Nanda Gopal. Then you think Sundara means beautiful. But how is he beautiful? And for a moment you may become diverted and think of a beautiful person you have seen. And you go, oh no, I've thought just about her eyes or his eyes. But now let me think of Krishna's eyes, what I have heard about Krishna. And you then think of Krishna's lotus eyes extending to his ears. And you think, what else have I heard about Krishna? Lotus feet, that means very soft feet. Oh, and it means fragrant feet. Oh, and you begin to think like this as you think, as you sing this kirtan. But of course, this will also only work if you do away with the practice of 20 years of devotional service in mindlessness. You have to practice mindfulness when you sing these kirtans, when you do anything in devotional service. And that is what Sanatana Goswami trains us in his Krishna Lila Stava. He brings different pictures of Krishna's pastimes into our mind and says we should chant these verses and at the end offer our obeisances to. You will see, if you do this a little bit, practice a little bit, the text of Krishna Lila Stava will bring you to an amazing quality of mindfulness in your devotional service. Because as I saw you were lying down before Giriraj, and I was thinking, wow, wonderful, they are all lying down and paying their obeisances, and they are thinking something. Previously they paid their obeisances and they were not thinking anything. Now they think something. They practice mindfulness. They think about gratitude. They think about Krishna's pastimes. And I was thinking, wow, these are great souls. These are wonderful Vaishnavas. They will soon get the treasure of love from Krishna. I want to end my seminar. O Shri Krishna, that's the last verse. Any devotee who chants these prayers for deliverance, known as your Lila Stava, and who understands their meaning and offers 100 obeisances, will by your mercy quickly attain divine attraction to your beautiful form, names and pastimes, and the place where you enjoy it. Let me translate this in a language which puts a few marks in our mind. So he says, you should chant these prayers. That means you should use your lips chant these prayers, then you should understand their meaning. That means use your mind. Then he says you should offer this 108 obeisances. This means use your body. And then Krishna's mercy will descend on you as the most powerful process in devotional service, or as the most powerful item in devotional service. And this mercy will bring something to you. It's called in Sanskrit, let me find the Sanskrit word. I think it must be Rati. Quickly, Bhakta Lavatam cannot talk by your mouth. Tava your Rupadu Naims Lila. Yes, here, Ratim. You will get Rati. Rati is a form of love. Sometimes it's also translated as Bhava, which is when you get flickering love for Krishna. It comes up, oh, how wonderful. And then, if you're not yet mature, it will also disappear. But from Bhava or Rati, Prema comes. So if you do this process, which you have learned, not only at the Govardhan retreat, Krishna will make an extraordinary situation out of you. He will make you a special case, and he will give you special mercy, which can give you Rati, which can give you the beginning states of Prema, those flashes of attraction to Krishna, which will become more and more until you become a lover of God. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Leela Stava Ki. Shri Giriraj Maharaj Ki. Shri Shri Radha Govinda Ki. Shri Shri Radha Kanhaiya Lal Ki. Shri Shri Gauri Nitai Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaur Prema Nandi Hari 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 Bo. That was it. I'm finished. Fantastic. Do you have any questions? We have 15 more minutes.
Maharaj, is it important for us to know at what stage we are? Because as I have seen all the group here, when you sing the bhajan in the evenings, we see they are all really putting their mind and soul, including myself. But then we should not get confused. We are in bhava because we have not yet reached amani na manadena. So, is it a flickering thing? Will it come at a very low level also? Or what? At least with respect to me, not with respect to others.
There is a practice in devotional service which has been explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which says that it's very good for a sadhaka to review his progress, and he mentions Ekadasi. Every Ekadasi is a good time to do this, to just go over your past 14 days from the last Ekadasi and see a little bit how you're doing and what lies before of you, ahead of you. This practice is explained in detail in the Chatur Shloka, is hinted at. In the Chatur Shloka, the four verses in the Bhagavatam, the Lord says that one should practice the path of bhakti both directly and indirectly. I think it's easy for us to understand how to practice bhakti directly, but indirectly, what could that mean? This means that you also become aware of the obstacles which lie ahead of you. So, yes, when you make a journey, you always have the goal in your mind, and you also have to have the obstacles which lie in your journey in mind, so that you are successful. It's not good to judge devotees, but it's good to analyze your own heart and then no. But see, in the sacred land of Vrindavan, something very, very special is happening. That even when a materialist comes to Vrindavan, by the power of the land of Vrindavan, he will get attraction to Krishna in his heart, attraction to Syama Sundar. I remember that once one of my friends told me that his mother came to in order to kidnap him from Vrindavan. And she slept in Vrindavan, and in the morning she woke up and she said, "Son, I hate to admit it, but I found myself chanting in the morning the Hare Krishna mantra." And the son must have said, "Mother, you must read Nectar of Devotion. There it said that anyone who comes to Vrindavan gets that, that these are gifts. Let us not be proud of the gifts, proud on us, you know, that I'm so advanced. Let us say, something happened in Vrindavan. I just felt a little more attracted to Krishna." Like that. These are gifts. Anyone can experience this. Therefore, yogis of the Himalayas, be careful to come. If you come to Vrindavan, you might experience some sweetness which begins to pull the heartstrings of your heart towards Krishna. Be careful.
So I would like to ask a question about reading Goswami's books and previous acharyas and prayers. And how can we know if we have adhikar to read these prayers? Because sometimes they are so confidential prayers, which we might not be in this level.
When while reading Goswami literature, you feel either mundane sentiments awakening in you, or physical reactions, which I don't want to name now, then you know better to stop. In general, there are these sections in this literature where confidential pastimes are described. And when you know, oops, when I read this, my romantic sanskaras begin to be awakened, then it's very good to stop respectfully, because if you would continue, you would do something like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, you would throw mud into transcendence, you know. You would put the material emotions, which are based on sense gratification, into that realm. It's good to discuss with your individual spiritual masters which book is suitable reading matter. I can guarantee you this book is extremely suitable for this. This is a very suitable book. Yeah. Yes, Jiva Goswami writes about this, that there must be a check when we see that some, you know, physical or not, some unwanted thoughts and reactions come, then we stop. We know the wrong sanskaras have been awakened. I very much want to say now something which is again controversial, so those of you who like politics, listen carefully. I personally feel that this is not controversial, this is cautioning, that all of us need to equip ourselves with a solid understanding of Srila Prabhupada's books as a basis of it's a basis, and also it's the goal. I see in my life something very, 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 very amazing. I must say this, although it will embarrass Burijan Prabhu maybe a little bit. I think everyone knows, it's no secret any longer. I have nothing to lose. The world knows it already. I like Krishna conscious literature very much. I'm a nectar hunter, and I'm always getting nectar. This is my newest acquisition. And sometimes I stumble into nectar which is quite confidential. I don't know. I'm just any nectar I'm hunting. On this Kartik Vrata, when I went for Kartik, I had a whole bunch of nectar literature which I had not read, and I had no time, and I wanted to find out what is it. But I also took this book, which is a study of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, Unveiling the Lotus Feet with me. I said, I will never read it, so let Gaurahari take it. So Gaurahari had it, but then I took it from Gaurahari and said, if you are merciful to me, please give it to me. And I read every day, and soon I didn't read anything else than the book, because it's full of Prabhupada's purports, it's about his translations, and I found it so absolutely comfort-giving and shelter-giving and so much injecting some attraction to Krishna on the non-mental level. You know, I can read anything and stir up my creative mind, but all I want is really shelter and connection with Krishna beyond the level of the mind. So I've read this with great happiness, and I couldn't wait for the next day when my rounds had finished some good quota of my rounds, and I could chant also, read also for an hour my Bhagavatam, and then I was very happy. I found soon that I made notes like anything, so I think from my personal experience, I can only say Prabhupada's books have somehow, if you see how Prabhupada writes them, if you understand a little bit how he writes them, there is some Shakti in them which is beyond the level of the mind. This is my experience, and believe me, I read everything. I know what I'm speaking about. Some even criticize me because I read so much, and I can understand them. Yes, I'm what to do? I'm a reader. Yes. So then, Hare Krishna. After you have understood something, or you have the basic training, you can go into what interests you, and you will know immediately what is good for you and what is not good for you. You are a mature man, you know, or woman, you know how to walk on your path, and you can follow also your taste. In spiritual life, we need to awaken our taste, and then we should also follow our taste. Because it's a personal relationship with Krishna. Krishna wants to know, are you in this because you want it or because you are told? Is something coming from you? Love is an individual item. And I want to give you an example with which I want to... There is a bird which is called the wild goose. The wild goose is a migrating bird which leaves Canada when it gets too cold and then goes to the more warmer parts of America, and it travels for many, many kilometers, and it always knows where it will find lakes, places to eat, and so on. How does the wild goose know how to fly without a compass and a land map? How does it know where to find food? It knows it because there is a super soul which directs it. So a devotee should also learn to connect with the Lord in the heart, who gives him a certain taste. Of course, he should carefully monitor his ways so that he doesn't go into deserts where he will starve to death or do terrible mistakes. But for that we are reading Prabhupada's books and we are hearing so much instructions. We should understand these books and instructions, and then we should learn to follow that small voice in the heart, which will become louder and louder as you stop ignoring it and start to follow it. That is the voice of your taste, and this taste really is given into your heart by the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of your spiritual master. You shouldn't ignore it. Prabhupada he translates the Bhakti Lata Beach in one purport of the Bhagavatam. I have this from Unveiling His Lotus Feet. He says the Bhakti Lata Beach, you know what that is, right? That is taste in devotional service. It is something which is there, something transcendental. Follow it and don't and keep in mind to the caution which you have heard. But sometimes I feel in our movement we caution so much our devotees that they become paralyzed and ask question, can I read the book of the Goswamis? Of course, they are written for you. Just know where you are at the moment and in which place you should go and where you should maybe wait until you are more mature. Start with Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and maybe Ujjvala Nilmoni is for later. So we have reached our end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Shri Giri Govardhana ki jai, Go Premanandi Adi Adi Bo. Krishna, Krishna, thank you, thank you.